title again?
Anja de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
And there are no other concerts on the horizon as far as I know.
Well,
the big three were Meatloaf, mm-hmm. Journey, and REO.
Well, okay. REO and Def Leppard to come.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're so broke now.
Yes.
And you're not courting me as much.
Yes. Well, it takes money to court you.
Well.
And I don't have a lot of liquid assets available.
Then it's time for me to have a new boyfriend on top of you.
Is he going
to
build you bathrooms?
No, you'd build me that. I'll just have the boyfriend take me out. Like you said earlier today, that I need to find a boyfriend who will take me out for dinners that you don't have to pay. That's what he said.
Yes,
find a boyfriend.
No. I added to that. And I said, but you have to bring back enough food for the entire family.
So I go find another boyfriend.
Yes.
Which won't be hard to do.
No.
And As long as I order some extra food,
yes,
to take it home.
And bring it back for the entire family.
And bring it home for the entire family.
Yes.
I can do whatever I want with him.
I didn't say that.
Oh, dear.
That's what you're saying.
I didn't say that at all.
What's the point of having a boyfriend? Just to go for meals?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yes. All right. So all right. We're gonna phase that out. Boy, you're going to have to. Uh-huh. You probably want to find out what comes after that part. And to do that, you're going to have to go listen to Jay and Anth. Not Jan. Jay. And Anth on their podcast, Cooking with Jay and Anth. It is supper time, so it kind of fits for me. I'm parked outside. You're going to hear some traffic noise. Parked outside Frederick Restaurant, the first Hakka Chinese restaurant in Scarborough! Exclamation mark. My students at the community college recommended this place. And tonight I gave my wife three choices. I said, well, you know, we can go get in the car and go off to Niji and have a nice Japanese meal. Or I could drive up to Ellesmere and Pharmacy and get the Hakka fish and the Thai-style eggplant, which is a traditional, a favorite one. She said, well, look, you're going to be teaching with your tour in that area anyway. Save that for a night when you're already up there. Oh, that made sense. Or I found a new taco restaurant. I don't know. Big whatever they are that we've never been to. And I had a craving for tacos. I don't know why. And anyway, in the end, we chose none of the above. I just remembered this place. It's got a great takeout menu. It looks really good. We have ordered once before and I've forgotten. So I've got an order in for steam dumplings, chicken with cashew nuts. Where's the vegetarian dish? Broccoli with black mushrooms. Mapo tofu. I call it mapo tofu, but mapo tofu. And a Shanghai chow mein. So that'll mean there's food left over for my dear wife's lunch tomorrow. Or whatever. Or mine. My son is never up in time for lunch. Oh, gee, I see they've even got combos. Oh, I'm going to have to remember that. Special for two. Wonton or spring rolls, beef with broccoli, sweet and sour chicken balls. Oh, no, that's out. As soon as you get chicken balls, hey, forget it. No, you don't do that. Dinner for one, deep fried shrimp, sweet chicken balls again. No, thank you. All right, anyway, it's a good place and reasonably priced, especially if you pay cash, get 10% off. So that's where I'm at, parked outside there. And this is the Dixon Janes podcast, episode number 570, I believe, because I just put out last night, Saturday night, 569. You know, I listen back to my podcast and I think, you know, damn it, dude, they're pretty good because it's easy for me to talk. I've gone over that before, and I don't want to get into the old bragging. Yeah, I know all about inflection. Yeah, so I scramble up a few words and make a few mistakes about people's names and things, and holy Christ, you know what that means. I mean, it's like the pants are painted on. Like, there's a micro something or other of latex between the bare flesh and, God, I'll just walk by. Anyway, easily distracted here in Scarborough. Funnily enough, this place is just on the corner of Ellesmere and Bellamy Road, not far from where I live. And I'm staring across the street at another Cash for You, the place I complained about last time I was out, which was Saturday night, to get the pizza. So that's two nights in a row. Was it Saturday or was it? No, it was Friday. That's right. Because Saturday night, my wife made us, my wife, I know that sounds wrong, it sounds possessive, it sounds, my dear sweet wife, lovely Naomi, let's use that name, made us a roast beef dinner with wonderful carrots with mustard sauce and baked potatoes with all kinds of spices on them. Oh, man, it was so good. And roast beef. Like, just bam, out of the blue. So I finished off the wine that went with that. Only two glasses left in my big bottle of Spanish Plonk. And so today, when I was out shopping at Home Depot, to get stuff for the deck, a cleanser to be sprayed on, or mopped on, actually. And then the proper stain, a very light stain. A job that I'm hoping my son will take on this summer. Using the power washer we got. Although she warned me, don't put it on a high pressure. Put it on a low level spray. Otherwise you'll just drive the dirt right into the cracks, you know. So that was good advice. So I got all that stuff, came to about $85, and I thought, well, while I'm out shopping, why don't I get some wine to restock the supplies? So I came out with a can of cider for my wife, a Jack Daniels and cola for my son, for just on a whim, just here. Here's a treat for you. I don't know why I do that. It's not a good thing to encourage, but it's a little gift. And another beer of Old 85 for me. It's the it's sort of a picture of Johnny McDonald on the cover of the celebrating the last, not the last spike, but the what was it? What was the 85? I guess 1885, I suppose, when they finished the railway. And it was a very, very good beer. So I bought another one of those for me. And then a big liter of Merlot. A very decent bottle of an Australian wine to stick away in the cellar. And then a liter and a half of Momasson French red. So, there you go. You got all the details, my meals, my drinks, everything you need to know. And stuff you don't need to know. Another shooting, if you're going to go on to world news, stuff you don't want to know but you can't help but hearing. Three police officers shot, murdered in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I believe. And three others, in hospital. Who knows? And then all the tension mounting in Ohio for the Republican convention, because it's open carry in Ohio. You can have a gun, a rifle slung over your shoulder, and a holstered pistol as long as you got the permits, and walk down the streets with them. Like, wow, this is crazy town. This is just nuts. And now they're saying, you know, is this really a good idea, given the tensions that are mounting over the possibility of having Donald Trump as a president? Just that possibility, which we thought was insane, a joke, not that long ago. And now suddenly we realize, hey, you know what? That could really happen. And again, I'm hearing more people who say, yeah, I want it to happen because America needs to hit rock bottom. So that it can correct itself. And that's scary. That's just plain scary. Like, whoa, America has to get to this point so that it can get better. Okay. Hillary would just stay the course, and that's not good enough for the change that needs to come. Spoken to somebody today after church service. By the way, it was a very good service. Oh, shit, I didn't bring it with me. The guy's name, Chris DiCarlo, maybe? A scientist, a philosopher, who was giving out posters that said, "We are all African." Now, that was stolen by one of the other well-known atheist, which one, I can't remember. Not Christopher Hitchens, the other one. Somebody on his staff stole it, only they changed it to be all Africans, and he deliberately chose the singular because of the genetic, the DNA proof that this is where we came from and evolved from, and then as we migrated and started to change. And thought that would be a great way to put an end to strife and hatred and all the differences that separate us. And, of course, that's pushing it, to think that people are actually going to understand and believe in that. The interesting thing about it, he was a professor at a university here in Canada, and he was fired. And the reason he was fired was he put that statement up on the board. We are all African. Three students protested. You think, wait a minute, were they racist and just didn't want to hear that? No, the reason they protested, because they were, it offended their religious sensibilities, this concept that goes hand in hand with that of Darwin's evolution and so on. And they took it personally, and the university, the cowardly Canadian university, I haven't found out which one yet, I'm going to Google it, I'll get back to you because I want that name out there, fired him. He filed a lawsuit and he won, but didn't get his job back. He cannot get tenure because he was fired from another university for the same thing. This is outrageous. Unbelievable. So we got onto that conversation, or he did, about, I mean, he gave a PowerPoint presentation, which was a bit heavy on the PowerPoint, but he'll be speaking at our church for the next 2 weeks while Greta's in the hospital. And it is interesting because, I mean, he is, you know, he's a doctorate of philosophy, but tied into science, so works with other departments and at other universities to dig up, you know, where can you go with this? Where will this lead you when you combine science and philosophy? So very interesting guy, very interesting talk at the church. I'm glad I went. Now I was on something before then, was I? Maybe. And that kind of got in the way that came up. Something else I was about to say. If I listen back, I'll find out. But, you know, hey, am I going to stop now, rewind, listen back, find out where were we? You know, if you're paying attention. But I may or may not get back to whatever else. It was just that it was a good day, a very interesting day. That's about it. Students coming Tuesday. It is Sunday evening right now. I've got one big-ish problem to solve to deal with liability matters, and I'm going to have to do that Monday. But that's all right. So payday loans, no, nothing to do with them. Oh, yes, the news. Turkey, my God, an attempted coup in Turkey. And the first thing, as soon as I heard about this coup that was, you know, broadcast live on TV, hey, this is happening, right away you think, oh, CIA. And then you find out afterwards when the coup failed terribly, they didn't have a chance, apparently, that the people behind the coup were the actual, tended to be secularists, people who are wanting to keep religion out of government. And I don't think Erdogan, if that's correct pronunciation, is of that ilk. I think he's more and more going to use this to strengthen his hand, to have more power, and to get rid of all his enemies. So army soldiers are rounded up by the police, which was strange. You never see that. Soldiers arresting police. I mean, police arresting soldiers. And then suddenly there's a whole lot of judges and conveniently people who just might have been representing different parties and enemies of him are all going to be swept up in that same movement to arrest and silence. So it's a little bit scary what might be happening to Turkey, or in Turkey, and being a member of NATO and all the stuff. But you're going to get more news later than this. I'm just saying, hey, this is stuff that's happening. One more bit of the story. This is just the day after the slaughter in Nice. I guess that's what I wanted to get back to. Okay. You think, how can a man get in a truck and drive over women and children, mow them down. And then find out, well, the guy's a bit of, maybe he's a nutcase of drugs, he wasn't a good Muslim, maybe this isn't really a terrorist, it's a crazy, maybe it's not really about Islam, it's something else. You're getting all these various spins, and everybody's going to interpret that in whatever way they choose. But the thing that we all watch this on the news and think, oh, how could he? France, our dear France, that's where I want to go for vacation. France, French people, you can't kill French people. And you realize the people who are doing the killing are very well aware that meanwhile, airplanes are flying over, drones, but mostly airplanes, dropping bombs on women, children, hospitals, apartment buildings, killing the masses of innocent. Well, because it's in Syria, or it was in Iraq, or it was here, yeah, that doesn't really count, because those really aren't us here in the Western media. And that's the shock, and that's the point where you suddenly realize, oh my God, all this, oh, I'll put up a French flag on my Facebook just to show I care. Whoa, 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 where were you when those bombs are being dropped on other people that are just as innocent? We're not talking about taking out just the, air quotes, terrorists and the bad guys. You know, maybe some of the single ones, they get lucky and kill with a drone. We're talking about populations being wiped out. But it goes everywhere because the same people, the other fanatics, this particular school of Islam against this school is going to drop off, you know, ignite truck bombs in a marketplace, killing women and innocent people. So it's yuck. The start of the 21st century is a one fucking ugly goddamn time in human history. Holy fuck, man. When is this going to get fixed? And you really begin to wonder, will it? Is it possible? What are the solutions? What's it going to take? Circle right back to Donald Trump. What's it going to take to have a truly kind and just and loving world? It doesn't seem likely. The little things we say at our church every week, and I'm not going to read the whole thing out to you, but the idea that, I wrote it on a piece of paper I don't have, but just help me to be more kind, loving and caring for a just world, you know? And what are the chances of having a just, or what are the chances of humanity? Because that was the upshot of the lecture today. Okay, you might say we are all African, and therefore we are all identical, and we all have the same roots. There's no reason to hate each other, but hey, you go right back to Africa. Oh yeah, I'm Yoruba, you're Igbo, he's Hausa, you're Fulani. Kill each other, because we're not the same. I don't think that message of hope is going to go very far. Phew. All right, listen, my food's ready, and I got to get back to listening to G and Anth, see what they've
got. Bamboozling, that's for sure.
Yeah, she was bamboozling.
Turn into the meaning that.
Uh-huh. I don't know what you're trying to say, but if I'm getting another boyfriend to help feed you, uh-huh, you better believe it that I'm getting other stuff out of that, too.
Uh-huh. Can me and I the girls go sit at another table nearby and just send him the bill at the end?
I'd be comfortable with that conversation, but it's not mine.
You're good with that.
All right. Anyway, apparently she likes Ken. All right.
Okay.
I'll come back. Sorry, I got to go. I got to get my food.
That he's paying for.
Hang on.
Damn straight.
All right. Yep.
And all right. I'm being all lovey.
Listen in. Jane Ants. Cooking with Jane Ants. Bye for now. Found on the Talking Is Dead Network.
With me?
Talking Is Not Dead? I don't know.
You ever lovey-dovey with me at a restaurant?
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So you're instantly lovey-dovey with me.
We sail the ships up on the shores, the ones were out of reach. We turn the silence into war and bloodied up the beach. We trash the forests and the trees till there's nothing left to cut. We rape the rivers and the seas and turn the land to dust. It goes on and on, on and on. Does anybody know what's going on? tell me where we went wrong. Can anyone say why wrong is right? If we want a little peace, well, we got to fight. Yeah. Can anyone say things are looking good? Just take a look around your neighborhood. The world's gone crazy. Well, don't drop that bomb on me. Save that little tree. Well, don't drop that bomb on me. Save our seven seas. But don't drop it. But don't drop it. Don't drop that bomb on me. Should every little thing have a life to give? Will every little child have a place to live? Does anybody feel just a little bit scared? Isn't it about time everybody cared? Oh, the world's gone crazy. But don't drop that bomb on me. Save that little tree. But don't drop that bomb on me. Save our seven seas. But don't drop it. But don't drop it. Don't drop that bomb on me. If you're gonna talk that talk, you gotta walk that walk. If you're gonna fly that flag, you gotta shake a leg. Yeah, everybody should try, 'cause we're much too young to die. But don't drop that bomb on me. Save that little tree. Don't drop that bomb on me. Save our seven seas. But don't drop it. But don't drop it. Don't drop that bomb on me. But don't drop that bomb on me. Don't drop it. But don't drop that bomb on me. Well, don't drop it, don't drop it.
Up and round in the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came. And go round and round and round in the circle.
Okay, we're gonna shut off Joni for a minute. Oh, I was on my way home, coming from Bluffers Park. I needed to get out. Boy, oh boy, I got some backtracking to do. Here's the question, first of all. How do you know what you feel? And I know that's, well, you just feel it, asshole, would be the answer. But so often I'm in my head thinking about what I'm feeling, trying to identify it, and then just not being sure what I'm feeling. As if there are no feelings, they're just thoughts. It's a really weird one, because I was saying to a friend, and maybe it's part of growing older, that you become a little detached, a little disconnected sometimes from reality. Tomorrow's the day, this is July 18th, Monday night. Tomorrow's the day my students arrive, and there's an unreality to it. It won't be real till I'm at the airport. And I see them come out that door and think, holy fuck, this is it. I'm with these people for the next 3 weeks. But right now it's still kind of, you know, it's an idea, it's words, it's plans, it's things you got to do, it's phone calls to make, it's confirmations, it's emails, it's all kinds of stuff, lists, shopping for drinks, but just the reality is just not there. And I think I felt this last year as well, and it seems even more this year. And so I was trying to think, well, is that a good feeling not to really feel it? In other words, like, I'm not really worried, or I am biting my fingernails or my fingers, but I don't feel stressed or worried or anxious, I don't think, but I must be underneath. And I guess what I was trying to do, and the reason all this is coming up now, is I was trying to feel, okay, just take it one day at a time. So what do you have to do tomorrow? I mean, I guess, okay, here's the problem. When it's a three-week program, you can't plan it day by day. You have to have it planned in advance. And that's something I'm just not, by nature, I don't do. I like this idea of, I'll just take it, play it by ear. Play it by ear. See what happens. See how it goes. See how I'm feeling. You can't do that in this program. Like, every hour has got to be planned, mapped out, taken care of. So it's counter to my nature, and yet I've been doing it more than 20 years. It's working. I haven't had any great failures yet. I mean, the buses show up, the food comes, everything works. The girls get on the plane and say bye-bye. That was a great summer, and everybody's in tears, you know, including me. So I'm thinking, well, Jesus, they're coming tomorrow. What do I have to do? Well, tomorrow I've got one job. I've got to go to the airport, and I'll take the that little UP train that runs from Union to Pearson, the UP Express. Wait, meet them, call up the bus that will come and pick us up, get them to Wexford, get them off the bus, get the suitcases off, lined up in the hallway, march them down to the library, make a speech, stand and make a speech to the host families, introduce the two teachers. Then, one by one, call up the host family and the students, put them against a wall, take a photo, say bye-bye, see you tomorrow. I'll make a couple of announcements. Don't forget, the second Thursday, that's, you don't get back till 7, that's our Niagara Falls day. Girls, don't forget your water bottles tomorrow. We'll need plenty of fluids, it's hot. And then, tomorrow I deal with tomorrow. I've got that wrapped up. Oh, what else do I have to do tomorrow? Oh, confirm the number of Popeye chicken orders. Yeah, not 38, 40, and only two veggies. So there is stuff to do, okay? So I can't just sort of shrug my shoulders and say, oh, I don't care. But, damn it, before I started talking, I was coasting along with a very good feeling. I know what it was. Because I wasn't talking to you, and I wasn't thinking about work. I was listening to Joni Mitchell. And here I am. I just got within a block of home and pulled into the GO Station parking lot because I thought, no, I got to capture this somehow. I got to figure this out. I got to understand what's going on with me. And I thought by putting it into words, by talking to you, I'd have a better understanding of what it is I'm feeling. And part of it is the feeling of fucking superpower. Superpower, because I'm doing all this. And it's gonna work. And people look at me, Ken, I don't know how you do it. Like, people, I get compliments all the time. Ken, you're amazing. You do a wonderful job. And I guess that's where the unreality part comes. Because I'm just not. It's not that I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that. I mean, I don't hear it all the time. But I do hear it about this tour. But it's just so hard for me to sometimes accept good things about myself, to accept my successes, to feel good, to celebrate my achievements. It's just not something I was brought up with. It was just counter to my nature, counter to my upbringing. And it's a weird thing. So I guess I'm saying I want to just feel, yeah, I'm the man. I'm in charge here, baby. This is mine. You know, and I need to own it. There it is. I need to own it. Did that help? I don't know. I don't know what it is on the receiving end. You might just think, oh, for Christ's sake, here it goes again, shouting at us. Yeah, sorry. But I, you know, sometimes you got to get these things out of your system, you know? But what was so, so, so delightful until I pulled in here and started talking was listening to Joni Mitchell. I mean, it's a fabulous CD. I bought 3 CDs. I bought Joni Mitchell's Hits. I bought Gordon Lightfoot, Gord's Gold. And I bought Leonard Cohen Live. And these are gifts for people. And what wonderful gifts. And of course, you notice the theme, how amazingly Canadian. Now, this song, I'm only going to have in the background because this is another one of those feeling good about me moments, because this song, Beach Tar on My Feet, is Joni Mitchell only months before I was there, according to her biography, in Mathla, the beach in Greece, the island of Crete. And she's just saying, okay, I've had enough of living in these caves. Let's head off to Paris, put on some perfume and fine clothes and go dining. I've done my hippie thing. I ate at the Mermaid Cafe. Oh, yeah. That's what they were doing. The freaks and the soldiers. It's not really a town. It was like barely a village. She doesn't mention, and I'm sure they were there at the same time, the kilos and kilos and kilos of hashish that was stored in those caves from the drug smugglers coming in from Lebanon. I'll go to Amsterdam, or maybe I'll go to Rome. And so, one more note. I have moved on from the beats. I am now back to, or into, my time, my era, the 60s. And I'm kind of glad. I've parked Kerouac, Ginsberg, the others, and it served its purpose. I needed that. I read it when I was young. I read it when I was older. 10 years ago, I went back to all of them. They're still there. They're still there. They're still a part of me. But now, the 60s. Who was doing what? The music, the musicians in particular. Last night, I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know, it sure is hard to leave it, but it's really not my own. Maybe it's been too long a time since I was scrambling down in the street. Now they got me used to that clean linen and that fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your key. The other thing I love about this is the music sounds good in the car. I drive around, so basically I'm doing a thing that any guy loves doing. It's a summer evening, you got the windows rolled down and you got the music cranked up. Like, what? That's what was making me feel so damn good. How was I feeling? I was feeling great. I was feeling great until I tried to analyze it. Just listening to the music. Just rolling down the road listening to the music. God damn, that's a good feeling, and I hope some of you get to do that too. Oh yeah, alright, signing out. That's it, done my bit. Finished shouting at you. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Bye bye.
My love, she speaks like silence, without ideals of violence. She doesn't have to say she's faithful, if she's true like ice, like fire. People carry roses and make promises by the hours. My love, she laughs like the flowers Valentine's can't buy her. In the dime stores and bus stations, people talk of situations, read books, repeat quotations, draw conclusions on the wall. Some speak of the future, my love, she speaks softly. She knows there's no success or failure, and that failure's no success at all. The cloak and dagger dangles, madams light the candles, in ceremonies of the horsemen, even the pawn must hold a grudge. Statues made of matchsticks crumble into one another. My love winks, she does not bother. She knows too much to argue or to judge. Midnight trembles, the country doctor rambles, bankers' nieces seek perfection, expecting all the gifts that wise men bring. The wind howls like a hammer, the night bell's raining, my love, she's like some raven at my window with a broken wing.
Yo, I can't believe I'm going to have another podcast cobbled together here in no time at all. I just put out one, but what the hell? I mean, once I'm on my tour, probably will slow down. I don't know, in the past I've sometimes tried the iPhone using that, little program that everybody complains about. Put up shorter clips. Who knows? And in the great scheme of things, it just doesn't matter. You know? Recording, what was that thing? Oh, here, Boss Jock, yeah. We'll see. Because it's kind of fun to talk to you when I'm in Quebec and Ottawa and stuff. Well, especially Quebec, because I get some alone time in Quebec City. I'm now in my second favorite park, which is Thompson Park, sitting on a favorite bench in the shade, overlooking the greenery. It is a nice expanse of trees. And in the background, you can't see it, but this sort of looks over towards the church where I was podcasting from earlier. It's Tuesday, almost noon, and in a few hours, I'll be getting on the train and heading out to Pearson International Airport to greet my students. I've got that under control, stop by Popeyes, confirm the order, forget the veggie items. We're just going to go with Popeyes chicken, and the vegetarians didn't particularly want the rice and beans, so I think they're just going to bring their own dishes. Although I could have got a few fries and biscuits, I suppose. And I may, I'll talk to them tomorrow. Who knows? Yeah. All the little details. And I keep, as I look at each one of them, oh, geez, I've got to do that. It is, mentally, this is very good for me. This is not, I'm not sitting back drinking beer, watching afternoon television talk shows. I'm doing stuff, man. I'm keeping active. And that's good. Body disabilities and misconfigurations and limping and all that other shit aside, things are good, if you wanted to know. Got my McDonald's iced coffee. It's the best deal of the summer. $1, and they give you a vat of it. Tim Hortons is still a... They might give you a senior's coffee at Tim Hortons. I don't know. I don't think so. Not the same deal, so in terms of the iced coffee. And, of course, they're too sweet. And I even asked for the extra vanilla flavor. Give me a shot of vanilla in that one. But for $1.05, it's a pretty good deal. And, let's see. Mailed off a CD this morning. And I'm going to go home and just go through that checklist one more time. What else has to be done today? I guess you can sort of see, I guess I am preoccupied. Oh, now let's change. Let's go back. I know why I want to talk. The Republican convention. My God, I listened to Donald Trump's wife's speech. I've already forgotten her first name. It's not Ivana. Ivana, is it? And I thought, hey, she delivered it well, considering, you know, hey, this is hard. And of course, everybody, well, it's her third language or fourth language, you know. She's, you know, and speaking in front of all these millions of people with a teleprompter, of course. She delivered it okay, but it was hilarious this morning to get on the internet, get on TV, listen to CBC News, and every single story was, oh my God, it's plagiarized. How many lines did she lift directly from Obama, Michelle Obama? This is just insane, and you can imagine this. Personally, Donald Trump is fuming, hasn't come out, and all the people, fat New Jersey governor, his name something Chris or whatever, saying, oh, well, listen, the first day is always the worst anyway. And what a thing to say. Hey, it's Trump's wife, and you're making that as your cover-up comment? And then somebody else, well, 97% of the words were her own, you know, it's a few. She just had the same ideas. But somebody's head is going to roll, because you just cannot possibly lift phrases directly. And, of course, they just kept playing them side by side. It's hard not to be gleeful in somebody else's just tragic, it's not tragic, ridiculous failure of enormous proportions. The one speech, the one thing she had to do right, and she did, so somebody, there's got to be a speechwriter in there, or the people around Trump. It's almost as if it was deliberate, as if somebody knew it was going to be found out and didn't do anything to change it. And if that's not the case, if nobody picked up on the fact that these lines were straight lifted from Obama's speech in 2008, oh my God. So that's the highlight of the day, I guess. Like, absolutely disaster for at the Republican National Convention of Ivana Trump's grand speech introducing her husband. And of course, the other thing they picked up on, it was just more of the same crap, but nothing personal. And the whole idea was supposed to be, you've got to personalize. Make him seem like a nice guy, a loving, gentle father, you know? Put in something warm and fuzzy. And there wasn't. He's just a leader. Now, the thing that really sent chills down my spine, I mean, I'm talking scary time, was Rudy Giuliani's, former New York mayor's speech on how we're going to get you, you know, the ISIS people. And we're going to call them for what they are because Obama won't. And we know they're ISIS fanatical Muslim Islamic terrorists. And I don't mean all Muslims. I just mean these guys. And we're going to get you. And it was, I mean, he was almost foaming at the mouth. That was scary. This is the, of course, the theme was Make America Safe Again. And that's the antithesis of making America safe. This is just inflaming hatred and fear and vengeance, and this would not have been at a place at a Nazi rally back in the 1930s. Oh, America, 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 I feel for you. I really do, for my American friends and for so many great people. You know, I mean, this is not, I hate fucking Americans. This is not what anybody's saying. It's just, oh my God, America, what's happened to you? How could you let the Tea Party hijack completely the Republican Party? How could you let people who are down with science down with gays and down with progressive, educated theories on life and evolution, and how could you let these people take control, not only of an entire party, political party, but to have the potential to take over the government? Jesus Christ. And I know there's the danger of this, and oh my God, you fucking smug Canadians, you'll get yours. Well, we had ours. and we tossed him out. We got rid of the fucking Conservative Party. We didn't like what we saw. We didn't like the stink of it. They threw him out, and he's just like a dog hanging his head in shame. You don't even see Harper anymore. He's gone. Banished. And we brought in something a little more progressive, a little more open. And the thing is, what were the options? Well, the options were Bernie Sanders. Well, sorry, but it seems America just wasn't ready for that kind of leadership, that kind of new direction. And to me, that would have meant a lot. There would have been huge mistakes along the way. There would have been, you know, all kinds of blow-ups. And he would have been just a target for the Republicans had he won the nomination. But there's very, very few people who like Hillary or trust Hillary or are happy to have another Clinton in the White House. I guess you had a run, I think a good run, except for the hostility and the bitterness and with Obama, except for the fact that the Republicans wouldn't let him carry out much of what he wanted to. But I know there are people, I don't know enough about it to get in here and defend, and leave that for history to say, but I mean, I have my biases. It's quite obvious. But oh my God. And I, you know, what is the future? And it's not just in America. It's the future of the world. Because these things happen. I mean, just 17-year-old Afghan refugee in Germany attacks people on a train with an axe. Shot dead. People, oh, why'd they have to shoot him? Well, hey, I'm sorry, but guy, you know, you don't do that. I don't have a lot of sympathy. I'm more concerned. I guess maybe I'm more concerned about Turkey. About this fact that suddenly there's 9,000 plus people arrested, and the president saying, if Erdogan saying, if whether he's president, prime minister, I don't know, whether if the people want the death penalty brought back, we'll bring it back. Well, of course, the mobs in the street are going to say, yeah, kill them. And you look at these people who are being lined up, these generals and soldiers and police and judges and probably professors and other people who are more liberal in their thinking and for sure secularists who would have been behind the coup. I don't envy their position or the treatment they're going to receive while they're in jail, because, you know, there will be abuses, and that's tragic and sad, and it's horrible, it's horrific to think what will happen to them. And it's pretty hard, given the shape of history, given the history of the CIA, and almost its mandate to not believe that they were largely in support of this coup, and it was ill-timed and ill-fated, and it just was not the way to go about bringing about the change. It's just played right into the hands of the conservative Islamic movement. Anyway, this is not all about politics. It's about me. But I do care about these things. I mean, it's always been a part of my life. I love going back to history. I mean, I really do like the race for president. Some of these CNN specials, as much as you want to criticize CNN, they've got the footage, they've got the videos, they've got the real live television recordings. And you think back to historic periods like the 1968, the year of political turmoil. That's what? That's almost 50 years now. It's coming up. Around the world, that was a wild time. We forget the Summer of Love was buried, you know, 67. Sorry, it's over. The bikers have taken over that movement and drug dealers. And that little blip of can't we all just live in peace and love each other? That's gone by then. And the barricades are up, and the demonstrations, and Mayor Richard Daley, if you read about 19... There is a book, I guess it's in my library. I guess it's just called maybe 1968. maybe A Year of Turmoil or some other subtitle. But what an incredible period, and just what happened in Chicago. And history destined to repeat itself, you know, will again, again. And so there will be, should there be a Trump presidency, there will be riots in the streets. But, okay. Let's park that. Let's move on. Can we mellow out a little bit? Can I ease your... Because otherwise you're going to say, God, I didn't want to listen to that guy anymore. It's too depressing. But, hey, you're getting the same shit I'm getting. You know, if you turn on your television. It was especially nice last night when I just drove around listening to Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell. It was so beautiful, and it was just that feeling, cruising in your car on a summer evening. God, that's nice. I got to do that more often. Without the radio, without the news, without even podcasts, just some music. Okay, and I never did find out. I Googled, I didn't dig deep enough. I couldn't find out what university fired Chris DiCarlo. That was his name. Very good speaker, and he will be speaking at our church, West Hill United, for the next two Sundays. I'm going to make this Sunday, and then the next one I won't be here, but I will try and come this year to hear what he has to say. Bright man, well-educated, and certainly opinionated. All right, Scarborough Dude, on a beautiful, slightly windy, lovely day. I got to get on with things. I got trains to catch, planes to meet, parents to talk to, and pictures to take, and... holy shit, man. Just the biggest hope is that flight is on time. Because otherwise I got 20 families sitting waiting, cooling their heels in a hot library. All right. It's me. Your friend. We are friends, aren't we? I mean, you do care, don't you? Yeah. You. And you. Oh, yeah. And you, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I like you, too. Yes. Oh, I haven't forgotten you. Yeah, and you, of course, you. Yes, and you, and you, and you. Yes, of course, you. Yeah. Bye for now. Turn end of podcast take two. I recorded a clip and I didn't like it. It wasn't that there was anything wrong, I just didn't like it. So here I go again. It's 4:15, Friday afternoon. I'm at Black Creek Pioneer Village and enjoying more than I can remember enjoying any drink in the past few months. That's an exaggeration. But anyway, I'm enjoying an iced tea. Oh, my God. Plastic cup. It tastes like real tea. There was ice. I don't know what else was in there, but... Oh, it's real tea. It's not one of these sugary canned drinks. I'm sitting under a tree, on a bench under a tree, big maple tree. It's a beautiful place, Black Creek Pioneer Village. It's a village recreated from some buildings 200 years old and others, you know, 100, 150. Wonderful. Whole little village. Great place to bring the students to show them what Canada was like in the days of even my grandparents. And when we were more farmers and so on, all the buildings, recreations, people in period costume. I was just talking to the blacksmith, who was bemoaning the fact that they don't hire craftspeople anymore. They can't afford it. So they really hang, you know, he was a history major. They're hiring students, college grads, because they're cheaper than anybody in the skilled in the trades who would actually know something about being a blacksmith or a tinsmith. And that's kind of sad. It's just the economics of the situation. They're more interested in booking this place for wedding photos. They don't really care about the true historic nature. It was interesting. He was not happy. But there he was on the hottest day, tending a forge. I always let my students go off with the guides and the teachers, and I just find my own place. I sit in front of the hotel in the shade, and then after about 30 minutes, I go visit the brewery here, Black Creek Historic Brewery, where they make their own beer, and it's good. And you get 3 samples for $5, and it's always a treat. And got into a very interesting conversation with somebody who works at the Mason's Lodge here. So he was a Mason, and he would be, you know, dressed up for the part. And I mentioned that my father is a Mason, and I still had his apron. And, man, he was very quick to hand me a piece of paper with his name, number, email, how I could get my father's apron back to him so it could be used at a lodge. You're not supposed to hang on to those things. And I said, well, I'll think about that. I'd have to find the box it was in. But that's the kind of thing that happens when you decide to go for a few beer. I think what I was saying, the point I wanted to make, was only one point, and that is I've realized this year, more than ever, I have to just do the program a little bit smarter. Smarter because I don't have the energy, I can't walk to the same degree. So I've got to save trips, I've got to think in advance, I have to plan better, and I'm doing it. And it's the trip has gone beautifully. I picked the girls up Tuesday night, Wednesday, Bluffers Park, Popeye's Chicken, and CN Tower, Thursday, Spaghetti Factory, and University of Toronto tour, Friday, shawarma from my good friend Nasib, who's heading off to the Middle East with his family, and then Black Creek Pioneer Village. And in just a few short minutes, when the girls have finished in the tourist gift shop, we'll hop on the bus and head back, and that'll be the end of the week. I will be seeing AG, one of the teachers, on the weekend. I promised to take him to my church and then out fossil hunting in down the road a piece. I don't know what he read online, but somebody told him there was a place where you could find fossils, maybe. So he was prepared to take a taxi. I said, no, I don't think so. So that'll be nice. AG's a really good guy. I like him. So I'm a happy dude, a happy kin. I really am. I realized, okay, I've got to have more of a Zen approach to running this whole show. Pass the work on to the people I've hired to do their part. And work with the teachers to do my part. And just make a good run of it. And don't wear myself out. And the one thing that's interesting about this park, this historic village, is it's right under the flight path of planes flying into Pearson, very low level, so you just heard a plane going over. And you can be sitting here in the shade of a tree, and suddenly there's this dark shadow passes over you, and it's a huge jetliner. Black Creek is wonderful because they've got all these animals, the sheep and the goats and the horses all around, and that makes it kind of neat, too. So I just wanted to wind down this episode. I don't know that I'll put another one out before I leave for the camp and the tour. God, this drink is so good. On a hot day, real iced tea. Oh, fabulous. The best $2 I've spent in a long time. $5 for the 3 beer samples. That was all right, too. But this is what I need now. So there you have it. There you have it. I'm very, very happy, as I am every year, and I'm sure anybody who listens over time or even remembers knows that you get sort of the same story. Hey, what a great job this is, and how happy I am that I'm spreading this experience wider, getting in new families. The host families are all delighted with the girls, and that makes me feel so wonderful. And all the girls are in great shape, and just ready to sop it all up. So we're doing well. We're doing well. And on that note, I guess I'm going to wind this down, maybe give you a tune, and sign off. And where you'll hear from me again, who knows? I kind of miss my lawn bowling. I haven't been able to do it since the students arrived. And I'd really like to be back out doing that, but it's just a little bit too much to do during the days while I'm here in Toronto. Okay, signing off with my last sip, last airplane heading over. That's good. Oh, I did stay up late last night to watch Donald Trump. Yeah, how could I forget? Actually, it was a lot of fun because iPad on my lap, iPhone beside me, and television on for CNN covering Trump. CBC covered the whole speech, too. And also watching Brent, Jason, and Jason on the Anger Corps doing a live podcast. It was the weirdest thing, watching those guys texting, tweeting messages to them, wondering if we're in sync. Are they watching? Are we in the same time zone here? Watching it on YouTube. That was really fun. It was very interesting. I felt I was with them. And they're complaining, why did they pick that night? Why didn't they pick the night when Giuliani... And who is the religious nut? I cannot get his name back. The absolutely crazy guy the night before who was the name just came and just disappeared again. If I said the name, of course everybody would know who I meant. A complete dangerous and crazy man. Today's Facebook, the best post was three poses of Trump side by side with three poses of Mussolini looking identical. It was incredible. It was scary. Wow. But, I'm beginning to think Trump might win it. And that may be what America needs. A reality check. All right. Scarborough Dude, also known as Ken, your friend and mine, signing off. Bye-bye.